We're very grateful this morning to be in the house of God and certainly appreciative to those who are here, especially those who are visiting with us and not members of the Church of Christ. You experience a New Testament pattern of worship where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments or music. We will pray. Me and we'll lead the services. We will take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Collection plate will go around one time. We will not beg you for your money. We're here to save souls. Amen. We lift up Jesus who hung, bled, and died on the cross, suffered for us, given to us by his Father. He gave his life. He suffered, died, and blood that he shed, it purchased the Church of Christ, the only church you ever read about in the Bible. That same blood will wash your sins away this morning if you believe. If you repent, if you confess him to be the Son of God, we will baptize you this morning for the remission or the washing away of your sins, and you'll be a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. Amen. And there you stay faithful to death. God has promised us the crown of life. Good to be back home. Had a great time on last week in Marshall. We had 40-plus restorations, 3 baptisms. It was a very, very powerful gospel meeting. And so it's good to be back here. Thank Brother Stroud for standing in my stead and being an assistant minister who I can count on to fill the gaps for me. This morning, we want to go to the book of John. We will start a study of the book of John, the book of John. I will be preaching from this book. I love book studies so that you know where to read. You can read ahead. You just read wherever I stop. Mark that in your Bible. Read the rest of it. I'll come back and explain it to you. Well, the more you read ahead of me, the better you have understanding. You get more out of the sermon because you pre-read. And so, but if you wait to get here and it's here, you'll miss some things you could have caught if you'd have just read it on. So it's a good way to start studying. Amen. So you'll know where I'm at. Just mark there. In the morning time, I'll be in the book of John. Afternoons, I'll be doing Old Testament studies for building of our faith. This book is written by the Apostle John. He refers to himself as the disciple. He never calls his name in this book. It's written about AD 98. The purpose of the book, John's book, is different from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the synoptic gospels, or those who are in sync or similarities. And as Matthew, Mark, and Luke discuss the life of Christ, they all tell it from 3 different accounts. And so you have to read all 3 to get the full story. But the book of John, according to John 20 and verse number 30, let's go over there and look at that. This book's purpose is this, and John wrote it, and if you read through it, it's going to be the building of belief. The Bible says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are, not written in this book.
But these that are written are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ.
There's the deal. The purpose of this book is written. The signs of in this book are written that you might believe what?
That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Now, so that's what the purpose of John writing was, to help the disciples believe. And we're going to see throughout John, the disciple was struggling with belief right up to his death, burial, and resurrection. And so we now must look at our lives and make sure as we study John that we're looking at our belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Let's go to chapter 1 and look at chapter 1 and get started there today. The sermon title, The Word Was Made Flesh. The Word was made flesh. In John 1:1, the book says, In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and
the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
So John starts with, in the Genesis, in the beginning of time, he said the Word was with God. And he says, in the beginning, the Word was God. Verse 2, he says,
the same was in the beginning with God.
So whatever he's talking about, the same was in the beginning with God. He was there with God. Then the Bible said,
All things were made by him.
So now we find out that the Word, this Word is a him. It's a him. This Word is a him. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this him was the Word. This him was with God. This him, he's talking about, was God. This him made all things, and nothing was made without him.
And so verse number 4, what else, John?
In him was life.
In him was life. In
this him was life.
And the life was the light of men. And in him was light. In him was the light of men. What else, John?
Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness.
And the light in him would shine in darkness.
And the darkness comprehended it not.
Could not understand or comprehend his light. Look at verse number 16, number 6.
There was a man sent from God.
He brings another man on the scene. We don't know who him is yet, but he brings another man on the scene. He said, there was a man named John.
Mm-hmm.
A man sent from God whose name
was
John. So this man comes on the scene. We now know his name. He was sent from God, but we don't know who to him is yet. Then came this man John. Now John says, there's another man. His name is John. He came. He was sent by God. Here's why he came.
He came for a witness.
For a witness.
To bear witness of the light.
This John he's talking about came to bear witness of that light. Read.
That all men through him might believe.
So why why was this John sent? To bear witness of this light. So that all men would see. He would witness this light, and then he would proclaim this light so others who saw this light would believe in the light that John witnessed about. It makes sense? What else, John? Verse number 8.
He was not that light.
So the Apostle John want to make clear, the John I'm talking about, he was not the light. The John he's talking about was not the light. And then he says,
But was sent to bear witness of that light.
This John was brought on the scene is because he was sent to bear witness of that light. That makes sense? Everything making sense, isn't it? We still don't know who he is. But in verse number 9, John says,
true light.
The one light I was telling you about, that was the true light. What light is John bearing witness of? The true light.
Which lighteth
light
every man.
That lighteth up every man.
That cometh into the world.
What light? The true light. What the light coming for? To light up every man that coming into the world. What else, John?
He was in the world.
Now, this light he's talking about, he was in, it's a he now. He referred the light back to a he. He was in the world.
And the world was made by him.
He's in the world. The true light made the world.
And the world knew him not.
And now, the true light that the world made don't know him. And now verse number 11. What else, John?
He came unto his own.
Then he came to his own. Talking about his people.
And his own received him not.
This he came to his own people and they received him not. John is trying to lay out a foundation for us to know who this person is. Then verse number 12.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
There are those who would receive him. He came to his own, but they wouldn't receive him. But those who received him, John wants us to know, that light would give them power
to become the sons of God.
So to who would he give the power to become the sons of God? To them that what?
Even to them that believed on
his name. John, who is this? What is his name? You won't tell us. Well, John said, I ain't telling y'all yet. Who is this guy you talking about? Who is this that you talking about? John said, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those who become sons of God, he's not talking about those who be born of blood, or born of a flesh, of a born of a man, at the will of man. These are not children that come from a mama womb. He going to give them power to become sons of God. These would be born of God to become sons of God. Is that what he would give them the power to do? To become sons of God. Is this making sense? Verse number 14. What else, John?
And the word was made flesh.
Now, that word I'm talking about, he was then made something. He was made flesh. And
dwelt among us.
Now, John brings himself into the scene. Now, see, the Apostle John had not mentioned himself at all. But now, he said that word, when he made flesh, he was with us. Now, John is saying, this is the Apostle John. This is not the other John. This is the Apostle John. Said Now, when he became flesh, then he started dwelling among us. And then we saw something. What did you see, John? We seen his glory.
The glory of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace.
Full of grace and truth. This him who was the Word. This him who was with God. This him who was God. This him who made all things. This him who was life. This him was the light of men. This him who lighted in darkness. This him what darkness could not apprehend. This him who's the true light. This him who was sent to his own. This home did not receive him. This him who gave those who receive him the power to become the son of God. Now this him was made flesh. This him dwelt among us. Now the writer John says he was there. We saw something. What did you see, John? We seen the glory, a glory that we had not seen. It was the glory
of the only begotten of the Father.
Or the magnificence of an individual who was the only begotten of the Father. Then he says,
full of grace.
He was full, complete of grace.
And truth.
He was complete. He had grace. The merited favor of God was in his full form. Truth without error.
Right.
In his full form. Came in this him. And John, verse 15, would bear witness of him.
And cried,
and
saying.
And John, that this is the other John. He cried,
saying, this was he of whom I spake.
Is the one I was telling y'all about. The one of whom I spake.
He that cometh after me is preferred before me.
But he was before me. That don't sound right. He came after me, but
he
was
preferred before me.
Preferred before me.
For he was before me.
For he was before me. In other words, he was pre-existing. Before I came on the scene, but I'm coming before him now to introduce him. This is the other John, and John says that's how this works. And then he said, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Now notice it. He said, we all of his fullness, the completeness of what he brought, we received it, grace for grace. This him is full of grace, and anyone who receives him will get grace for grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, and it came in the fullness when this him came into man, was made flesh, and God had no more to give. It's complete. It was full. It was all the grace he could give to the world. And anyone who received him would receive all of God's grace. Grace upon grace. Blessings upon blessings. Oh, that's because it was the fullness of God. And then John says,
for the law was given by Moses.
Now he talks to him. Y'all understand Old Testament. He's talking to people who understood Old Testament. He said, well, law, that's Ten Commandments, was given by Moses.
But grace.
But what I'm talking about, this him, this grace. Amen. Somebody say it with me. This grace.
Grace.
This truth.
And truth.
Is not law. Watch it, watch it. Because we want law. But the grace. And this truth is not law. That's going to be important to be saved. Because if you need law, you don't need grace. You say, what are you saying, brother? Watch this. I'm coming back to that. Got to. Because some of us hung up on law. The law was given by Moses. But grace and truth
came by Jesus Christ.
Now, notice verse 18, John says, no man
had sent God at any time, or seen God at any time.
He said, now hold on. He said, now John said, look here. Something to understand is that no man has ever seen God. And then he says,
the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Now, the only one that can make known of God the Father is the one who was in his bosom or there with him. That's what John is saying. So Moses brought law, but this grace and truth brought a declaration of a Father that no man could present. Here he is, this him who was the Word, this him who's with God, this him who was God, who made all things, who was life, the light of men, the light that shined in darkness, the darkness, the light that darkness could not comprehend, the true light. He went to his own. They didn't receive him. He gave those to become the power, to become the sons of God. He was made flesh. It was him who was the only begotten of the Father. He was full of grace and truth. This is him. But who is he? John said, read that verse. This is him, the only begotten, Jesus the Christ, the only begotten of, which is in the bosom of
the Father.
The only one qualified or declared to make known was Jesus the Christ. Who is he? Here it is. He was the Son of God. He was Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ, know what he said? He that is full of grace and truth. The one who came. Grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
First time that he mentions Jesus Christ is in verse 17. And he says, what's significant about him is what no man can testify of. What's significant about him is what no man can declare. Is that he was there with the Father, in the bosom of the Father. In Genesis 1:26, the Bible teaches us why John started in John 1:1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Genesis 1:26.
And God said, let us make man in our image.
That is right there. Who was there with him when he created the world? It was Jesus the Christ, the only begotten, and the Holy Spirit. You had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was God. When he said in the beginning was God, that God made up of a Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Who was this that was made flesh? It was none other than Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. You say, well now, Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth,
and the life.
And the life. Know me.
Coming to the Father.
Did we say it? No man coming to the Father
except by me.
But by me. Why? He's God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. You remember? He said, I came to my own and they didn't receive me. They received me not. This him, Jesus Christ, left heaven's glory. He took off that robe of divinity in the bosom of the Father. And he came. And God chose a woman named Mary who was already espoused to a husband named Joseph. And she would bring forth this child of the Holy Ghost. She was already married and never been touched. But she was married. See, I mean, you can get married without being touched. Amen. By her husband. And God told him, don't touch her. Joseph got a little disturbed. Wanted to put her away privately. He didn't want to put her to shame. He was a just man. But the angel talked to him. The angel talked to Mary. And they helped him understand who they were and what was getting ready to happen. Isaiah said, unto us, a child is born, a prince, a wonderful Savior that will come into the world. He was made flesh, not born flesh. She brought forth children, son, but man had nothing to do with it. You and I are born of a woman. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. That wasn't Jesus. He was the creator. He was not created. He was made to come among us. And when God did, when he left heaven's glory, he would leave the bosom of a father who would so love the world that he would offer to the world all the grace that could be offered in one person. He would send his fullness of grace to the world. And he would go to his people first, which would be Israel or the Jews. And he came and he lived among the people 33 years. And they would take the word that was made flesh and they would take him in the last 24 hours of his life. They would take him and execute him by crucifixion. But before they would execute God's only begotten, they would hit him with a clenched fist. They would beat him with a whip. They would scourge him. They would beat him. They would spit on him. They would mock him. They would take God's only begotten that came from the bosom of the Father. All this grace. They would put a crown of thorns on grace head. They would put a crown of thorns on truth. And they hung truth. They marched truth down the streets of Jerusalem. And grace and truth would carry the cross up a hill called Calvary. And they take grace and they took truth. And they would drive nails, a nail in truth hand, and a nail in grace left hand. And they take grace and hang him with a nail in his feet. They take all of God's grace and lifting him up between two sinners. The twilights of two worlds would hang grace for grace. The grace of God was on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Amen, somebody. The grace of God is what will save the world. The grace of God was the light. The grace of God was the creator. The grace of God was on the cross. He was on the cross. God's only child, the only one can say it, the only one to declare him. Grace was on the cross to save me and to save you. Grace hung, brother, what? 6 hours. Grace hung on the cross. 6 hours he was still on the cross. 6 hours he was in pain. 6 hours he suffered. Grace suffered. Grace hung. Truth stayed. Truth stuck. Truth stuck out. 6 hours.
They took him. Truth and grace. All is God's favor to the world. He would look at the people, his own people. His own people. His very own. He was sent to his own, and they received him not. His own people would crucify him. But he says, he was so full of grace. Father, forgive them, for we know not what they do. See, when we're full of grace, we have no problem with forgiving people. When we're full of grace and truth, forgiveness is not an issue. It's that when we have no grace in us, when we hate people or love them less than God loves them. Amen, somebody. But not him. He loved the persecutors. He loved those who whipped him. He loved the who put the crown of thorns on him. He could forgive those who spit in his face. He could forgive them who put the cross on his back. He forgave the crucifier. He forgave the executors. He forgave those who drove the nail in the hand and in his feet. And some of us can't forgive somebody who didn't speak to us right. Let me see, well, Brother Brooke, what's the message? When they had grace and truth on there. And he died a soldier. John 19:34. Went up to grace and truth and pierced him in his side. In Acts 2:36. And out came blood and water. That blood would purchase his church. Acts 20:28. What the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourself. Or with the Holy Ghost, a major overseer to feed the church of God. There it is right there. Somebody said, don't say church of Christ. But in the beginning was God. And the word was God. And the word was with God. So he was God. He was in the Genesis. He was with God, but he was still God. Who was he? God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? Well, take heed therefore yourself, Lord, fly with the Holy Ghost, may you also to feed the church of God, watch him, which he purchased with his blood. The only one who shed his blood was the one who was made flesh. There was no blood without no flesh. That's how we know it's Jesus, the Christ, the only begotten. He was made flesh to shed blood because the lambs, they're under the law. I'm coming to the law now. Was a physical lamb that had blood and life. Jesus became the last lamb slain. And he had to come in the form of flesh to have blood. Because no flesh and blood is in the bosom of the Father. So we got that part. So the blood would purchase his church, which become the virgin wife as Mary was. Y'all missed it. He purchased his wife, which was a virgin wife, like Mary. Because it was purchased, Mary espoused Joseph, and she bring forth a child made flesh by the Holy Spirit. So when we look at that, then we too must come into the world by a birth that has nothing to do with me. And that's what he's saying. That now, when we see him purchasing his church, then we can understand one husband and one wife, Ephesians 5:23. For the husband head of the wife, even the Christ also the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Husband, love your wife, even the Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the it is the one church. The church whereas the husband's name is referred to as the church of Christ. Once you understand the one husband and the one wife and the one church, then you need to understand who rejected him. His own did not receive him, but my question is for you. Will you? Because in Acts 2:36, Peter came and preached to them Jews and said this to them. Therefore,
let all the house of Israel know assuredly.
Let all you Jews, the house of Israel, Israelites, know assuredly that God had made
that same Jesus
whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this. When they heard what? They executed by crucifixion. They scourged. They beat. They killed the only Son of God who came from the bosom of the Father. When they heard this,
they were pricked.
They
in their
were
hearts.
Pricked. Oh my goodness. What have we done? Like we today. Oh my goodness. I have sinned. I have fallen short. But when you see him on the cross, it ought to prick your heart. Oh, that's grace on the cross. My forgiveness is on the cross. The truth is on the cross. He's there to save me. If I'm dying in my sin, when I'm pricked in my heart, I'll do what they say. What must we do?
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you.
Change your mind. Make a decision. Repent.
And be baptized.
I ain't leaving today like this. And be baptized.
Every one of you in the name of
Jesus
Christ.
But every one of you who were pricked in your heart knowing what you just done to the Lord. And this Bible says what?
In the name of Jesus
Christ. Your baptism must be in the name of the one sent and made with flesh.
For the remission of sins.
Your baptism is for the remission of forgiveness of sins.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
So you say, Brother Brooks, what are you saying to us? Will you receive him this morning? By hearing that he came to die for your sins according to the scripture. Do you believe it? That he came. Will you leave different than you came? Will you make a decision? That I'm coming to Jesus. I'm coming for my grace. For grace. Blessings upon blessings. To become the sons of God. He gives you power by hearing, by believing, by repenting, by confessing him to be the Son of God before an audience of people. And then being baptized in water. And in the water, you'll contact the blood, Revelation 1:5. And when you contact the blood, that blood will cleanse you of your sins. And then it's all you added to the Lord. You receive the Holy Spirit. That's when you are born again of water and of the Spirit. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not the birth from your mother's womb. It's the birth from the watering grave of baptism. A dead sinner steps in the water believing Christ is in there. We bury him by faith under the water. That person believes there's blood under that water without seeing it. He believes he's going to get the Holy Spirit. He believes he's getting ready to come up a new man, born again, regenerated, heir of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And when you come up out of that water, you had the power to become the sons of God. And it was by him who was made flesh. Ain't a good lesson? Here's where we are. You can't beg people to the Lord. We can't sing you in. We ain't going to clap you in. We ain't going to do none of the emotional stuff. We hang him on the cross. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, you don't have to do nothing fancy, Brooks. Just hang me up there. I'll draw men unto me. Law won't bring them. You must be baptized. You must come to church. You must worship. You must do this. That's law. Greater love had no man than this. They lay down life for his freedom. What you see on the cross, Brother Brooks? Love. You don't see no law? No. No, love is up there. Grace is there. Love is there. Truth is there. God is love. God is truth. God is grace. There's no error on the cross. The error is in the eyes of those who see or don't see the cross. Can you see the cross? Can y'all see him this morning? Can you see him hanging? Can you see him bleeding? Can you hear him calling? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Once you come this morning, you may be going through stuff. You may be going through things today. You got some pain in your body. You got sickness. You got trouble. You got trials. Jesus is calling. You need to be saved. You need a new beginning. You need a fresh start. You've been in prison. You're now out. You're a free man. You want a new beginning. You want to let all your past go. I want you to come. You've done a lot of bad and wrong. I want you to come and lean on Jesus this morning. You're going through storms. Come to lean on Jesus. You need prayer. Come to lean on Jesus. Lean on the Lord. Let him help you. He said, I stand at your door now. If you would just come in, you can lean on me. I'll take care of you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Who should come? Those who've never been baptized. Those who want to serve with us. Those who want to pray. Those who want to confess. Those who want to restore. Come back to the Lord. You've been gone. You don't miss worship. You need to repent. You need to confess. Come back and restore your souls to the Lord together. We stand in